Sri Chaitanya Charita Amrita, Adi Leela, chapter 5, text 155, which is a quotation from Brahma Sanghita, chapter 5, text 39. It's a well-known verse. Rama Adi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan Nana Avataram Akarot Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishnaha Swayam Samabhavat Paramaha Puman Yaha Govindam Adi Purusham Tam Aham Bhajami Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Amena Tishtan. Nana Vatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Parama Pumanyo. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Amena Tishtan. Nana Vatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramah Pumanyo. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Yeah, then someone else chant. Murtishu. Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Adena Tishtan. Nana Vatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramah Pumanyo. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Ramadi Murtishu. Murtishu. Nana Vatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramapumanyo. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Anyone else, ladies? Rama Adi, the incarnation of Lord Rama, etc. Murtishu, in different forms. Kala Niyamena, by the order of plenary portions. Tishthan, existing. Nana, various. Avataram, incarnations. Akarot, executed. Bhuvaneshu, within the worlds. Kintu, but Krishnaha, Lord Krishna, Swayam, personally, Samabhavat, appeared, Paramaha, the Supreme, Puman, person, yaha who govindam unto Lord Govinda adi purusham the original person tam unto him aham I bhajami offer obeisances. Translation. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who by his various plenary portions appears in the world in different forms and incarnations such as Lord Rama, but who personally appears in his supreme original form as Lord Krishna. The purport simply says, this is a quotation from Brahma Sanghita, Brahma Sanghita, chapter 5, text 39. The purport given there is as follows. His subjective portions as the avatars, viz., which means namely, Rama, etc., appear from Vaikuntha, and his own form, Krishna, manifests himself with Vraja in this world from Goloka. The underlying sense is that Krishna Chaitanya, identical with Krishna himself, also brings about, by his appearance, the direct manifestation of Godhead himself. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama shreshtam manum api shachiputra matra swarupam rupam tasyagrajam urupurim maturim goshtavartim Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Vandeham shri guru shriyatah padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavanscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagarna raghunatan vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In the purport or the commentary in Brahma Sanghita, Rama Adi is given as the incarnation of Lord Rama, etc. Rama, when we say Rama, generally we understand the son of Maharaj Dasarath. Can of course also refer to Balaram. We read this morning in the morning class from Srimad Bhagavatam how Yamuna Devi was calling out to Balaram, Rama, Rama, Mahabaho, calling, O Rama of mighty arm. So Balaram is often also called Rama. And there's also Parashurama, another Rama. And Rama ultimately refers to, or we can say also refers to Krishna, because Ramante Yogino Nan, he in whom the yogis take pleasure, the yogis who forswear all material pleasures and even go to the other side, the other end of the spectrum, by deliberately accepting austerities and difficulties, but they do it for this. They do it for the sake of pleasure. Why would you leave the world, go to a cave in the mountains in the freezing cold and perform so many austerities? Why? And you say, for pleasure. Well, what is the pleasure? The pleasure is the unlimited pleasure, who is unlimited, Ananta, Rama, who is the real pleasure, Satyananda, Chidatmani, the pleasure of the soul, that absolute truth, supreme absolute truth, is called Rama. So that also refers to Krishna. It's a general definition, and that certainly fits Krishna. Now, this verse from the Brahma Sanghita states that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that He expands Himself into many forms. That's stated elsewhere also in Brahma Sanghita. Anyone? Any Brahma Sanghita students? Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam. Yeah, that's there. He has unlimited forms. Ah, that's it. You got it. Dipachir eva hidashantaram abhyupetya dipayate vivrita hetu samana dharma yas tadriga eva hichavishnu taya vibhati govindavadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Again and again in every verse stressing that Krishna is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in this particular verse saying that just as one, actually, Srila Prabhupada uses the term candle, doesn't he, in his translation. But generally when we think of a deepam, then we think of something more like this, don't we? We see on the two sides of Srila Prabhupada an oil lamp. So you can take one little oil lamp, a small one, a portable one, and light so many others. Maybe you've seen in this temple here is a replica of South Indian temples. So maybe you see in South Indian temples they have Sahasradipa. They light up 1,000 lamps and you go around and light them one by one. So the point given in this verse is that you can light so many lamps from an original lamp and they all have the same light. They all give out the same light. But still there's one original. So in the same way, all the forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're all powerful, all blissful, all perfect, but still there's one original, and that is Krishna. In the translation, in the Brahma Sanghita, the Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this translation is ascribed to him, has given Lord Rama, it says Lord Rama. And when we say Rama, we generally think of Dasharati Rama, the son of Maharaj Dasharath. But if we see the context in which it appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's speaking about Krishna and Balaram becoming Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. This Chapter 5 of the Adi Leela is describing the glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. So it describes how he is Balaram and then explaining the glories of Balaram. So Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is that right? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme means there's only one, right? People often say, well, Hinduism, they believe in so many gods. In one sense, yeah, but there's one Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we say one, but then we're talking about Krishna, Rama, and we sang this morning, Dashavata Stotram, that's only the 10 principal forms. That is Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha, Vamana, and so on. There's so many forms, but we say God is one. And what is the meaning of that? It's not possible to understand from our limited platform, but there is one Supreme Personality of Godhead who expands Himself into different forms and enjoys with Himself. And that's true of us also, the jivas. Eko bahu syam, states the Chandogya Upanishad. One became many. We say one became many, although Krishna is eternal. We are eternal. But the sense is that we have emanated from Him. We're also part of God. But Balaram is God. He's intrinsically non-different from Krishna. In one place it's stated that the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is that Krishna is blackish and Rama is white. Now, there are many other differences. If we see the almost different person, if we see, analyze personality psychologically, then Balaram is a different personality. But in appearance, Balaram is white and Krishna is blackish. They're the one person, the same identity, although appearing in two different forms. This is not possible to understand by material intelligence. But we can understand by considering that as an individual person, he takes different forms, not exactly different forms, but different, almost different persona at different times. For instance, a man may be a high court judge. Do you have such things here? Something similar must be there. High court judge. So when he's a high court judge, I don't know in Germany, but in England they have this wigs, which only high court judges wear. It's went out of fashion a few hundred years ago, but the judges kept on wearing it. They wear a gown, a black gown, which also went out of fashion a few hundred years ago. And there's a protocol for Your Honor, My Lord, and they have to be grave. And there's a certain etiquette and a persona that they have to follow. And then when they're at home with their wife, they can maybe wear some shorts. Can't wear shorts in the court. And joke around. You can joke a little bit in the court, but only within certain parameters. You can relax, you can be someone. Then maybe he goes to a golf club or a checkers club, something like this. And then he acts in a different way, he dresses in a different way, it's a different mood, it's the same person in different places. And he, even with his children or his grandchildren, he may be playing around in a manner that would be quite unsuitable for his role as in the court. So one person may desire to act in different ways. But you can only do so and dress in different ways and look differently and even have different set of friends. In the court, you have your legal crowd, and at home you have your neighbors, and then in the checkers club you have your friends who play checkers or whatever. And it may overlap also, because the legal crowd, they may also be your neighbors, and like this. So we don't like just to be the same all the time, just to only be a high court judge. That's all you do. You sit in the court all day, every day, and that's all you do. There's a certain kind of pleasure from being a high court judge. But you don't do that all the time. So in the same way, Krishna is Krishna, and he's very happy being Krishna. It's not that he gets fed up of being Krishna. But enjoyment can expand in so many ways, and he takes different forms to enjoy different personalities and to relate with different devotees in different ways. The Gauriya Vaishnavas, many of them aspire to be gopis in the spiritual world. And you think, well, I could dance with Krishna. But some of the gopis, they dance with Balaram. They're Balaram's gopis. He has his own set of gopis also. And different ages also, Krishna and Balaram When they're together, they're young, they're frolicking in the pastures of Vrindavan. Later, they grow up and they become kshatriyas. It was unexpected that they could emerge as kshatriyas. And Balaram has somewhat different outlook to Krishna. Most surprisingly, he's partial to Duryodhana. How about that? He won't go against Krishna, but he likes Duryodhana. He has a friendship with Duryodhana. One of the names of Balaram is Duryodhana Guru. Not that he taught any spiritual knowledge to Duryodhana. Duryodhana was completely unfit for that. But Balaram taught him the art of club fighting. Balaram is very skillful in that. So it's almost like a different person, but it's the same person. And that's why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, sometimes he shows the form of Krishna. He showed the form of himself as Radha and Krishna to Ramananda Rai. Sometimes he showed himself in the six-armed form. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, two arms, Krishna, two arms, and Ramachandra, the son of Maharaj Dasharath, in two arms. Sometimes he showed himself as Varahadev, sometimes as Balaram. He's the same person. And he can manifest himself in different ways to different devotees according to his mood. He has his own way of doing things as he likes for his own pleasure. Everything he does is for pleasure, but not the pleasure of this world, which is very small and the cause of pain. But Krishna's pleasure is in sharing love with devotees. And he does that in various forms because different devotees have different aspirations. Those who worship Lord Rama in Ayodhya, or they may even prefer to worship him in the forest. They like to see him in Ayodhya, but there's a lot of service to do in the forest. They have a different approach to God. They have a different, their whole attitude toward Godhead is very different. It's very reverential, mixed with love. And then again in Dwaraka it's different. Balaram's also in Dwaraka, along with Krishna. In Vrindavan it's different. So in this way, the Supreme Lord expands himself into many forms. And he has ananta koti Vaishnava, unlimited numbers of devotees who worship him, and every single living being is different. Isn't that amazing? Every single living being, no one's exactly the same. It must be difficult for psychologists. They're trying to classify everyone's psychology, but everyone's different. You can classify certain personality types, but everyone's different. And they have different outlooks on life, different kinds of characters. And the Supreme Lord also, he comes in different forms, with different moods and different devotees. And the first form is Ramadi. The first is Rama, Balaram, which fits if we think of the Chaturvyuha. We have Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. So Vasudev and Sankarshan in Dwaraka, they are in Vaikuntha, who are Vasudeva and Sankarshan. In Dwaraka, they are Krishna and Balaram. This is, it may sound very technical to us, and we can study all these things. These topics are discussed in books of the six Goswamis, Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Rupa Goswami discusses all these things. For our understanding, because we like to understand, but those who are living with the Supreme Lord, they're not so much concerned with all the technical details of understanding. They're just being happy with him. Just like in the law court, or in the checkers club, or in the home with the grandfather who's the high court judge. It's not that everyone's psychologically analyzing everyone else. They're just being what they're being and interacting in various ways. So that's for us here. We need to psychologically analyze all these things so that we can understand who is God, so that we can surrender to him and be convinced that he is the person to surrender to. However, we shouldn't get waylaid by too much technicalities. We should understand, what is the essence? Anandamaya Abhyasat. The essence of existence is pleasure, happiness. When we actually pleasure, this maybe not such a good word because it's associated with sensual pleasure, sensual happiness. And that's true in the spiritual world also. But the word pleasure, at least as it's used in English, gives the sense of a personal sense happiness. Actually, there's no proper word. All the words we use in this sphere, they're all contaminated by our own contaminated outlook. We use words like happiness. And when we think of happiness, what do we think of? Sensual pleasure. But happiness, it doesn't mean that. We have the words sukha. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find this word sukha, and it's always associated with dukkha. Sukha and dukkha, happiness and distress of this material world. But beyond that is ananda, which is better to describe the happiness of spiritual existence, which is uncontaminated by any suffering. It's simply bliss, and it's not self-centered. This is also very difficult for us to understand in this material existence. Happiness doesn't mean to think how I will be happy. Do you want to be happy? It sounds like a silly question, doesn't it? Do you want to be happy? Of course you want to be happy. But someone who's actually happy is never thinking about how can I be happy. As soon as we start to think, how can I be happy, immediately we're in anxiety because we think, well, now I'm not happy. What do I have to do? And we can think of so many things to make us happy, and none of them make us happy. But instead of thinking about to be happy, if we simply serve Krishna and act in our constitutional position, then automatically happiness comes. We don't have to think about it or go through any formula. Simply serve Krishna, which is our natural role. Happiness means to act in our constitutional position. The example that Srila Prabhupada often gave is a fish is happy in the water, just for the sake of the example. We're not saying that fish is actually happy, that my goal in life, next birth, I'll get born as a fish. That's not the idea, but it's just to give an example so we can understand. The fish is happy in the water. If you take the fish out of the water, you can give him the most beautiful Miss Fish and all the different varieties of fish food. And what else? What else could we think? Send him to the casino. But he'll never be happy because the fish can't be happy outside of water. He'll be suffering. As soon as you take the fish out of water, immediately suffering. But if you put him in the water, then automatically he's happy. So similarly, if we act in our constitutional position, in service of Krishna, we don't have to think how to be happy. Simply service to Krishna, and automatically we become happy. Is that right, Akhila Prabhu? He's always engaged in the service of Krishna. Never do we see a moment when he's not engaged in the service of Krishna. Does he ever look unhappy? Maybe he looks unhappy if he sees that things aren't going the way they should be. But otherwise, he's a very happy person. What is the secret? Krishna is the secret. You don't go around thinking, you don't wake up in the morning thinking, how will I be happy? You don't have to. Automatically happy. It comes from service to Krishna. And Balaram is the original guru who shows this by his character. How do gurus teach? They teach by talking and they teach by acting. By acting, by walk, what is it? Walking the talk. They do what they tell you to do and then automatically they're happy. Automatically they're on the spiritual platform. So Balaram is the first one to do that. He is the first servitor of Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is his pleasure? In serving Krishna. Everyone likes to serve Krishna. Even Krishna likes to serve Krishna. Krishna, he's always happy. And he takes happy in making his devotees happy. But then he sees they're so happy be serving me. I want to enjoy that kind of happiness also. I should enjoy all kinds of happiness. So he comes as Lord Chaitanya. He expands himself as Balaram to serve Krishna in various ways, and particularly in the form of Ananta. The whole spiritual existence, the whole spiritual world. We're talking about this. Ananta holds the universes on his hood, his snake hood. But the whole spiritual world is manifested by the energy and desire of Balaram simply to serve Krishna and his devotees. Then Balaram expands himself as Krishna's couch. Krishna lies down, Narayana lies down on the snake bed of Ananta. And then the chamara and the parasol and the shoes of the Lord and his sacred thread, all the paraphernalia for serving Krishna, everything is conscious. Everything is in the spiritual world is simply thinking how to serve Krishna. So practically there are only two things in existence. There is Krishna and there is Krishnetara, that which isn't directly Krishna. And everything in existence is meant for serving Krishna. And Krishna also likes to serve all his devotees. And all the unlimited varieties of living beings who are serving Krishna. And the first of them is Balaram. So when we're talking about spiritual happiness, it's not as the impersonalists imagine, it's just being a light, being part of light forever. It might sound good if you're feeling so harassed in the material world, you think, oh, just get away from it all. Meditate, just try to turn off your thoughts, which is impossible. But they try to meditate and just relax. And the impersonal realization they aspire for is just eternally, just nothing, because everything is a harassment. But that's actually a very negative assessment, isn't it? Just this, everything is miserable, so just turn off. But Krishna consciousness means to go beyond this simply turning off, to go beyond the miseries, far, far beyond, up to the spiritual world, dynamic happiness, which is always increasing, the happiness of service to Krishna, which is exemplified by Lord Balaram, whose appearance days we are celebrating today. The first of the multi-forms of the Supreme Lord, who expands himself in so many forms for the sake of spiritual exchange. So Balaram is the exemplar of that. We are also parts of Krishna. He is Svangsha. He is directly the personality of Godhead, but in a different form, which is at the same time non-different. And we are also non-different from Krishna, in one sense. But we are Vibhinangsha. The difference is more apparent. It's greater. So, in the same way, we're all parts and parcels of Krishna. Krishna takes various forms. He expands himself in various ways. Different devotees like to relate with the Supreme Lord in different ways. And even though we know Krishna is supreme, someone may accept, but still they prefer to worship another form. We find this in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. This happened with Murari Gupta and especially with Anupam, the younger brother of Rupa and Sanatan. They were devotees of Lord Rama, and they knew that, or they were being told by their compatriots that Krishna is supreme. So why don't you join us in worshipping Krishna and divert your attention away? But their attention was so much on Rama, they didn't want to. They couldn't imagine doing any such thing. That is their perfection, that they love Krishna in a particular way. They don't disrespect Krishna, but they like to worship him in a particular form. Hanuman is well known as saying that, I have to look at it. Srinate janakinate abheda paramatmani tatapi mama sarvasvam rama kamala lochanaha. He said that I know that the Lord of Sri means Lakshmi or can mean Radha. I know that Narayana, the Lord of Sri, and Janakinath, the Lord of Janaki, Lord Rama, they're the same unbroken, undivided, supreme living being. Still, as far as I'm concerned, my all in all, my everything is Rama, the lotus-eyed Rama, Kamala Lochana. Kamala Lochana, this name is as applicable to Narayan form as Rama form, but he wants to worship Rama. So in this way, different forms, different pastimes, different devotees, different mood, same person. It only appears that they're different, but they are the same. Also, it's monotheism, but it's, what shall we say, accentuated monotheism. Or giving a oneness and difference. Krishna is the fountainhead of all avatars. He is avatari, and Balaram is his first bodily expansion. He is one without a second, advitiya. The monists take this to mean that there is nothing, but there's only one. But advitiya also means one without a second. There is no one in comparison with him. He expands himself in unlimited forms, Vishnu forms, without their being different from one another. The three Rams, three famous Rams, Ramachandra, Balaram, Parashuram, they're all called Rama because they give great pleasure. They're all accepted as avatars of the Lord. Ramachandra and Balaram are Vishnu Tattva. the first Ram to appear according to our perspective. We who are situated in this specific moment in time, the first of these to appear is Parashuram, and then Ramachandra, and then Balaram. And all of them, all of these forms, exhibit great strength, and all of them kill many demons. But the name Balaram especially gives the idea of he's strong. He's very strong. Balaram, sometimes just called Bala, Balaram, Baladev, Balabhadra. He's very strong. Nayamatma Balahinena Labhya. Without strength, one cannot attain to the Atma. So I was talking about that this morning, how from Balaram, especially on this day, we pray for spiritual strength. Sometimes we used to see in the gymnasiums in India, the bodybuilders, they would worship Hanuman to get a strong body. Okay, that's all right. Whatever you're doing, remember Krishna and his devotees. You also have Hanuman on the altar here. It looks like that, standing next to Nrisimhadev, Nrisimha Shila. How does that work out? He brought Hanuman here, but Hanuman says, Tatapi mama sarvasvam ramas kamaloch. I know it's a bit unusual. Anyway, he worships Rama. So, Balaram, very strong and very beautiful. And he can help us to conquer over Maya. Actually, we can't conquer. How can we conquer over Maya? But at least in our little sphere, we can individually become free from Maya, who binds us and pulls us down. Otherwise, if we don't take shelter of the spiritual strength, but this desire to have a strong body, it's a lot of work these poor people go through, so much work lifting up weights and all this kind of thing. By Balaram's mercy, through his material energy, you simply take birth as a gorilla in the next life, or an elephant, and very easily, without doing so many exercises, you automatically get a big, strong body. So we should understand that when we're talking about strength, what is the real strength? Someone who's got a very strong body but cannot control his mind cannot be said to be strong in the actually, he's not Balabhadra. Bhadra gives the connotation of that auspiciousness. So it's inauspicious to desire to have a big strong body without taking shelter of Balaram. Of course, if one's a Kshatriya, then he can have a big strong body and use it in the service of Krishna and Balaram for helping to control society in a way that is conducive for Krishna consciousness. The name Balaram's, Bala means strength, and Ram gives the connotation of pleasure. So it gives the idea that he likes to use his strength. He likes to show his strength. And generally, if anyone has any opulence, they like to show it. They like to exhibit it. A wealthy man, what's the use of being wealthy if you don't flaunt your wealth, or you don't go to the casino and blow 5 million Swiss francs in one night and walk out laughing? What's the point of having wealth unless you show it off? So Balaram takes pleasure in showing his strength. If you have some ability, you like to show it. Like to share it. That's it. The materialistic person likes to show it off, And the more enlightened person, like, he uses his ability to enhance human society. If someone is a medical doctor but he doesn't practice medicine, then he doesn't help human society. Or maybe he does by not practicing. That's arguable. If someone's a good mridanga player, quite a good mridanga player, then, yeah, well, for the West, pretty good. So, yeah, then you should play. We're having kirtan. And someone can... I have someone who can play nicely, enhances the kirtan. If you have a good cook, then should be in the kitchen, cooking for Krishna, cooking for the devotees. So in the same way, Lord Balaram, he takes pleasure in using his strength to protect Krishna. Who can protect Krishna? Balaram protects Krishna. Mother Yashoda sends Balaram, you better go with Krishna, because every day there are these demons coming. You better look after him. Balaram knows that Krishna doesn't need any looking after, but Yashoda doesn't know. She doesn't think like that. So Balaram used his strength to protect the residents of Vrindavan. And of course Krishna is also he's the source of all strength. Balaram and Krishna are all, both the source of all strengths. So these are a few little points about Balaram. Little points about Balaram are very big points, because if we're talking about someone so great, and who can be greater, any little thing we talk about him has to be very great. So we'll pray for the mercy of Lord Balaram by praying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Balarama ki jai. Balarama Purnima ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama. You want to answer a question, is it? You going like that? That means you want to ask a question. All right. Well, 2 minutes according to this. Quick, quick, quick.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Prabhupada used to say that each living entity has his own relationship with Krishna. And you mentioned how there are like Balaram gopis, so to say. So when Prabhupada says this statement that...
Everyone has a relationship with Krishna. Yeah, but Krishna expands himself as Balarama, as Ramachandra, as Varaha. So we say Krishna in this sense is generic. That some have their relationship with Rama, the son of Lord Dasharath, some have their relationship with Balaram, some have their relationship with Varaha, and so on.
Hmm. But doesn't that mean that there is a different in intensity with the...
Different intensity, yeah. Yeah, Radharani's love is the most intense.
So when one is already self-realized, and we say this is like an eternal identity, can one... increase the intensity of...
Can you increase the intensity? It increases all the time, unlimitedly. And that's true for everyone. So you're never going to catch up with Radharani. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Ram. Jai Balaram. Hare Krishna.